Episode 209, August 31st, 2015.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
The racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Gate, Joe. That's what the kids are calling it on Facebook, our Marcus Serta Laura Reuter. Have at it last week on the Rob and Joe Show. The brouhaha, the fight, the big rivalry. Is it squashed or is it even hotter than ever?
One thing I noticed is Marcus is a sensitive guy. He's sensitive. So when he heard that comment, it didn't roll off. It does. You know what I mean? It didn't. He literally was like, hey, what is it that bothered you? And he found the thing that bothered her, and he apologized for it. Meanwhile, he didn't do anything wrong. I'll tell you what it was. I heard it today on Americast. I know we're going to be playing some of that, but apparently the thing that bothered Laura was when we were talking about Wendy Townsend saying that I did the news and I was awful.
Right.
And Marcus goes, that was bullshit. Which I appreciated. You know what I mean? Yeah, I didn't. It wasn't a big deal to me. But Marcus came to my defense. I thought that was a cool thing to do. And that's what she didn't like. I have no idea why not. I don't care. I'm not upset with either one. But I did think that it was cool that Marcus came to my defense. But then he apologized for it as if that was the wrong thing to do.
Well, Marcus,
defending me is the right thing to do.
I don't know about that. But Marcus is the opposite of Robbie in that sense. And that he'll apologize when he did nothing wrong, and Robbie will never apologize, even if he's totally wrong.
You're right, but they're both super sensitive.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, when we bring up something that we were going to bring up later on in the show, maybe now's a good time, Robbie's going to get bothered by it.
He is, but is why we should wait, because he could sabotage the show.
That's true. He could.
Just wait till the end. That's a tease.
The very end is when we're gonna do that?
Yes.
Oh, Robbie's going to be bothered the whole show now.
That's fine. We've got Marcus now. Sorry. Now, happy birthday, Marcus, by the way. It's your birthday today. How old are you? Can you say?
45.
45. So you're
gross.
Joe, are you 45 or 46?
46.
All right. Well, you guys are all the same age. Did you, and I'm warning people, we're going to talk to Marcus. Did you have a big birthday celebration today?
I did not, because I've had to work all day. I have not stopped working since I got up this morning. It has been a very non-birthday, except my wife gave me a really great gift.
Blowjob.
That's later. but it's a gift that I think you guys would appreciate.
Okay.
Okay. Are you going to tell us?
Yeah, what is it?
Well, yeah, I just didn't want to consume the whole show.
Is that how we play this?
If you want to, I'll give you this hint. It is not an object, it's an experience.
Okay. Is it tickets to a comedy show?
It is not.
Is it a live performance of some sort?
No.
Okay. Is it
a time off from something that you normally have to do?
No.
Is it Space Camp?
No.
Does it involve thrill rides or anything? Sort of extreme sports stuff, hang gliding, parachuting, roller coastering.
No, but it is very unusual.
Will we ever guess it?
No. What the
hell? Are you going to some? I like Space Camp. That was a good guess. You're not doing some sort of indoor, like surfing, like in a surf pool, wave pool thing or something?
Oh, it absolutely has to do with water and being inside. And it has to do with hanging out with my father-in-law and his two brothers.
You go to like a spa or sauna or something like that with
it's not sounding any good.
Other old men.
Give Joe the big ding because I'm being sent to a Turkish whetstone sauna.
Oh,
wait a minute. You thought we'd appreciate it? What do you mean by that?
Because we made fun of Robbie for doing the same thing.
Are you kidding
me? I do appreciate it. It's hilarious.
That sounds like a punishment. You're going to go hang out with your father-in-law in a Turkish bath?
Naked.
So what they end up doing is you actually move from one area to another. They have a Turkish whetstone sauna. Then you go into the Russian dry cedar sauna, all in between going into these cool wading pools to kind of transition from one to the other. And then it finishes off with a Russian dinner and vodka flight.
Okay.
Do you want us to tell your wife you don't want to do this? Or are you going to try to build up the courage yourself?
Joe, I think it sounds kind of cool.
The end, sure. Not the really. You want to wait around with Tawanda's dad through Russian baths? You don't want to do that.
No, but I do with Marcus's wife's dad. She's
doesn't work like that.
Well, I do with your dad.
Well, yes, of course, but not Marcus. Listen, I don't ever remember any experience where I wanted to go with any significant other's parents to a Turkish bath. By the way, are your goods going to be out, Marcus?
Yeah. At any point, are you going to see your father-in-law's penis?
I think that's entirely possible because the entire experience, including the dinner, is with nothing but a towel.
Well, now what? Now what, Rob? You want to see?
No,
his father's a giant black man. You want to be sitting there
giant,
naked with him?
He's in great shape. He bests me in every way. In every manly way, he bests me. Like, he can fix stuff. He's in great shape. He's better looking. He's dressing nicer. He's going to, obviously, any sort of fight. I mean, in every man thing, he bests me. So, no, I don't want to be with my shirt off and his.
You want to know who wouldn't mind doing that with Tawana's dad? Kwame Brown. He would sit right in there. I don't know if he'd want the food at the end, but he definitely would sit there.
I think a lot of Tawanda's female friends wouldn't mind doing that with her dad. He's a catch. So, no, you're right. I don't want to do that. I'd need the vodka early and often.
What made your wife think that this was a good idea?
Because she knows that I like to do weird and wacky things, and this was the weirdest and wackiest thing she could come up with.
When is this?
She wins.
It is coming up next week when I'm on vacation.
All right. Well, we're going to expect a full report when you come back. I want to get back to you chiming in and how that's caused drama for some people. I'm going to read this from our Facebook. Sam Rem, I believe, is if I'm saying his name correctly. He posts something that was, I thought, quite hilarious regarding the show. He said, "So I had the two most recent episodes of the Rob and Joe show saved up, and I went to the reading room at work and started listening," reading room in quotes. "I was quietly listening to the comedic give and take of Rob and Joe's voices when out of nowhere, what seemed like the voice of God chimed in. I literally jumped up in the stall because I thought someone leaned over the top of the stall and was talking to me. It was such a louder level than Rob and Joe. Well, then I realized it was Marcus chiming in unexpectedly. So I get to the next episode, and it was all about Laura versus Marcus. I had to laugh my ass off." So I think he sort of understands where Marcus is coming from.
You mean where Laura's coming from?
I mean where Laura's coming from, yeah. So, well, I mean, maybe we need a warning, a bell or something.
No, I think we need to do a better job explaining to the audience that Marcus is going to be a small part of the show in terms of you know, I guess what you hear, right? He's here. Maybe we did a bad job just explaining that.
Well, Sam does say, unlike Laura, who I met at the Big Duff, too, and is great, I don't mind his comments, but Robin Joe, how about throwing it to him before he speaks? Just a little heads up. I almost had a very bad cleanup in the reading room.
Was it my fault that Marcus said, that was bullshit? I mean, he brought that on. He brought that up himself.
We just got to rein that powerful voice in. You know, if we're in a singing group and we got Aretha Franklin, we can't be over here humming a tune and then she chimes in out of nowhere. I mean, we're going to look like fools. You know, we're like, why aren't we just letting her do all the work here?
So we're having a speak when spoken to policy with Marcus.
We should have that with Robbie also, to be honest. Yeah,
that's true.
You should have that with our girlfriends too, but I don't think that's going to happen. Big week this week, Joe Robinson. We've got the Murder Mystery Show on September 4th, Friday night at the Arlington Draft House. If you've listened to TMOS, you might have heard our promo because it's going to involve Rob Spiewak. And we won't tell you how much of a role he will have, but he will be in it. He will be speaking. You will see him there. I won't be there. I'll be at McGoobie's, but you'll be there. Everyone else essentially will be there. And we really love this venue. So in order for us to keep being able to book this venue, we need this to do well. So I know Rob has put out the word on the Mike O'Mara show. And I believe actually Hank and Laura will be there.
I guess Marcus can't come.
Marcus cannot come. Robbie will be there being the sound guy. So come on out. It's this Friday. If you're not going out of town, go to the Draft House. It's at 7:30, ArlingtonDraftHouse.com for tickets. I'll be at McGoobie's on Thursday to Saturday headlining with J.L. Covan, who, of course, now it's a moot point because you wouldn't have been able to do the show anyways because of the murder mystery. But at the time, I suggested JL be my feature and not you, Joe. And that's really because I don't like your comedy and I want to hear his. So it's nothing personal. Actually, it is personal. I think you do too much crowd work. It's easier show for me if the feature doesn't do all crowd work. There, I said it. Okay.
Well, no, I believe that.
Yes. Yes.
No, that's like the 800th time you made that joke. I don't believe it. I don't believe that you don't like my comedy or you think JL's funnier than me.
I like your comedy, but I do think the show is better if you leave some crowd work for me. Because
that's true.
I don't like my jokes anymore, and I have to rely. I don't have to, but I choose to rely on that other skill. And when you get done calling all the women whores for 25 minutes, then my sort of bashing women, it's a little much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And as a matter of fact, I was thinking the same thing. We were supposed to do a show together in Bethesda where you were featuring and I was headlining, right? Or maybe yes. That was, and I wasn't looking forward to that because, you know, I mean, again, same thing. I don't want you taking up all the crowd work. So I get that. I guess JL doesn't do any crowd work.
No, I'm sure he does crowd work, but I don't know his act as well as yours, but I know he's a more prolific writer than both of us just by the fact that he has 4 CDs. I have 2, you have 1, and it's all crowd work. But JL, it stands for Joe's Loss, but I'm bum. That's what I came up with. No, it's going to be a great show. It's 5 shows, 1 Thursday, 2 Friday, 2 Saturday. Magoobies.com. Please come out and represent. Hopefully I'll get some 98 Rock people because I just did the Uncensored show. It's there. I guess every few months now they started doing this thing where the morning show does a live event. And
can I say something real quick about how this went down? So the first thing that happened is Mike Anderson, producer of Justin Scott and Spiegel, says, hey, do you and Rob want to do the open up for JSS Uncensored? And I was like, yeah, of course. Now, I misread it. I just thought it was for me. And then when I was on the air the next time, he goes, hey, did you say anything to Rob? I go, well, why would I say something to Rob? He was like, I put that in the text. And I go, oh, no, no, I'm sure he'll do it. And I will. And then, of course, I called you and I said, hey, it's us, me and you. So then Scott Reardon on the show said, here's what I thought you guys should do. You both go out there and you just start kind of just talking to the crowd. And I was like, well, that won't work, right? Mm-hmm. And And so then they, I said, we can just go up one after the other. You know, you can have Rob on and then I'll go on, right? Well, of course, I got bumped. I got bumped from the show.
Yes.
I mean, it started out with me.
Well, it didn't start out with you. It started out with both of us. You thought it started out with you.
But I know, but the text came to me.
Correct.
So then, and it was my job to get you, and then yes. I got you, and then I said that it was a bad idea to have two comics, and then I didn't get to do the show anymore.
Well, I think it worked out for the best, because let me just set this up. It's at the Ram's Head, which is generally a music venue in downtown Baltimore, a nice little power plant live, nice area. And they got, I don't know, 600-700 people there. I mean, it's sold out. It's sold out, I think, the day of or soon after the tickets.
Yeah, were. Justin said that staff couldn't even get tickets.
Yeah, it was a hot ticket, and they were there on time. We showed up, me and Tawanda, 40 minutes early. There's a line out the door. And so I don't know, because I'm just going to open the show, do 10 minutes. And they just said, do whatever. So I'm thinking this could be rowdy. They could be yelling shit out. Am I going to be able to just tell jokes? Are they going to be able to pay attention enough? Because you need to pay attention for a joke to work at some level. So I'm actually thinking, do I just want to like bring two people on stage and who's the biggest fan of the show and just have a banter back and forth and just make fun of them and give away some bullshit prize? And so I'm toying with that. And then and the show doesn't start with like, here's Rob Mayer. I just run out. So there's that, which is can be weird. So I run out. I fuck around for about a minute. And then I do 10 minutes of comedy, and it was amazing. They were on fire. They're laughing at everything. They're roaring. It ends with this huge applause. I mean, yeah. I felt like a rock star. It was incredible.
They talked about it today on the morning show. Rob, did you get that clip?
Yeah, I got it right here.
Yeah, play it.
Uncensored 2's in the books. And Mike said during the commercial break, how good does it feel to have that monkey off our back at this point?
It's 2 hours, and it goes so fast because we're busy the whole time, and I'm just so inside the moment that I have no idea what even happens. Like, I can't even, you know, does that make sense? You've done it a lot. Like, you've done comedy and stuff. Like, when you do a set, is it just gone in a flash, or do you remember it all?
I remember highlights, and what a good sign is that when you look down and you're like, oh, it's almost 11 o'clock already? That means you're having fun. We're cooking and booking.
Like that Trump thing, I have no recollection of it. I know I did it and it was like, I don't know how the reaction was. I don't know if it was good or bad. I was flying by the seat of my pants.
And a big thank you to Rob Mayer from the Rob and Joe Show, who frickin' murdered it up front. Rob Mayer, robandjoeshow.com was our opening act. Got the crowd warmed up.
And like, I have such an enormous amount of respect for like a Rob Mayer and a Joe Robinson and you, like, to just be able to go up there cold and within 10 minutes just have them just
stirred into a frenzy.
Yes.
He set the table for us.
It was so cool to watch.
So that was fun. Thank you to Rick, to Steve. God, that was great. The Sarah stuff we'll have to get into. We'll find out if we can tell you exactly what happened. If you were there, you know what happened.
It involved a banana.
Yes, it did. A bottle of whipped cream and her dropping the mic. Nothing you saw at the VMAs last night even came close to the queen.
That makes me feel awesome because it was, you know, I said this to Justin. It's really a tribute to their show and a testament to them that they can get an audience like that that's there, that's cool, that's into it, it's sold out, they're on time, they're raucous, but they're not like out of control. They're not dicks. They're just good energy. So it was a home run, the whole show, everything about it. I wish you'd have been there, Joe.
Yeah, me too. But although I was there, my doppelganger was there.
Yeah. Well, before that, you know, Rick is the program director, new, you know, I guess 6 months into this now. So pretty new still. And he's the one who, you know, has got you your, you know, the gig, the post game show. And he's clearly a big fan of yours. And I would imagine, indifferent on me, just having not being exposed to me, other than listening to our podcast a couple times. But he was there, and he complimented me. He was very complimentary. So I felt like, okay, good. Now I have, like, value to him. Like, he sees that I'm actually more than just some guy that you know. I actually can bring something to the table.
Yeah, he even mentioned about you. He's like, yeah, aren't you doing the post game with Joe? Didn't he say something to that effect?
Yeah, we talked about the post game. We talked, you know, kind of some ideas on it and our ideas or my ideas on how the show itself, the Uncensored show, went. And how often they're going to do it, and just, you know, just my opinions on it. So yeah, we had a nice 5-minute conversation. It was super cool. And then we went next door to this bar, and there he was, folks, 15 years younger version of Joe Robinson. And we got pictures taken with him. I believe his name was Brian. And we put up, we had him do a similar pose that you have on your Facebook page with your arm sitting out, poking out. And he's got the same haircut, the same color of white. He's got the same glasses. He's also wearing a plaid shirt.
Yep.
Plaid shirt. I mean, it was amazing. He was like, Katie would totally bang that guy.
No, why would she? She already has me.
And it seems like that's a look that we're seeing a lot. I believe Amy Michelle Berger said on Facebook that Amy, again, we know the pronouns with Amy, wants to go be Halloween for you as Halloween. Amy wants to be Joe Robinson.
What do? Make your hair stick up and you wear dark rimmed glasses and a plaid shirt or a wolf shirt and you're done?
I believe that's what Amy will do. And I look forward to that.
And people are going to say, who the hell are you?
If we can get as many people to go as Joe for Halloween, that's our goal. We'll ramp that up when it gets closer.
Well, can I go back a little bit to you endearing yourself to Rick? Is that,
yeah,
that's good for us. I mean, I don't know if there's ever a place for the Rob and Joe show on that network, but yeah, that's kind of like an ultimate goal of mine that station recognizes what we do and thinks that that's something that they would want on their airways.
Yes.
And it's funny because on Marcus's show, going back to Americast, his guest, Merle Rogers, said that, hey, she thought that was my end game. But I don't think I've ever made I've been pretty deliberate about that, right?
Yeah, I think, well, they were, you know, talking about why you don't maybe travel and comedy more. I think it has to do with just your schedule.
It has more to do with my day job and my kids. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, your realistic end game. I mean, anyone's end game could be a movie star, but your realistic end game is a full-time employee on air talent, 98 Rock. You can say that, right?
Yeah. But I mean, if you said what's a realistic goal, it would be to have this show on that network. That would be my, on that station. That would be my goal.
Yeah. We'll take that. Yeah. Let's take a break. Speaking of Americast, someone else might be on the hot seat. Not Rob. Not Joe. Not Marcus. Someone else. The Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show on 98 Rock. Never forget, my name goes first. I'm taking part in a new live, interactive, hilarious comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. It's called The Last Laugh, where I'm the star, as I should be. I play multiple roles. I play a comedian, a real piece of crap, a detective who's not good at his job, a fat girl in a wheelchair, Optimus Prime, and Mr. T's mustache. Come check it out, and maybe, just maybe, you can join us on stage. It's going to be incredible. Come see it.
Next performance, September 4th at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House. Tickets on sale now. For upcoming show dates and more info, visit facebook.com/dielaughingproductions or robinjoe.com. And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Of course, if you're not, you don't know what the Americast is. It's our guy Marcus here that's helping out with our audio, doing a tremendous job. Has a show on this new network we're on, the More Broadcast Network. It's sort of a highlight show of all the other, I don't know, what is there, 5-6 podcasts on the network, you know, with TMOS being the mothership. But he'll have guests on that are listeners, and they'll talk about, play some clips, debate them, talk about them. And Merle Rogers, who is a woman who I met, we're friends on Facebook. She came to my show in Hanover, PA a few months back, her and her husband. That's where they had the awful magician was on the show that opened for me.
She mentioned that.
Super cool, very funny on Facebook, always has good comments. And she was your guest this week. And, you know, of course, the thing with you and Laura came up, Marcus. And she had a take on her issue with the show. I don't know. Can we play that, Robbie?
Yes.
I had reached out to Laura, and she said, it took me right out of the show, and suddenly it was like a listener had somehow gotten a hold of a mic and gave voice. Suddenly it stopped being the Rob and Joe show and became a special edition of Americast with them as guests. I have since thought about how Robbie behaves on the show, and he is sparse, often giving voice to the chat room when appropriate. Now, my contribution to this is, as annoying as you are to Laura, Robbie's my Marcus.
Oh, really? So you think that Robbie and his interruptions in the show are just as bad?
There is something about Robbie's voice that wants me to kick, that makes me want to kick puppies.
Well, then I would say that your dislike of Robbie's interruptions are probably worse than Laura's, because I don't think Laura has even said anything similar to that. Kicking puppies. Wow, that's pretty bad.
Robbie is much less than he was when they first came to the network, which I am eternally thankful for, because, again, kick the puppies. So they have their own rhythm, and when someone comes in that's not – you're not used to hearing.
Yeah.
It just takes you right out. Like, wait a minute. That doesn't belong there.
No, I absolutely agree. I hope that I could make the conversation more interesting, because there's a certain portion of me, as I listen to all of this stuff, whether I'm listening to any of these shows, it's a matter of, you know, I love good radio, and I don't need drama to make good radio. But as we've all listened to Mike and the boys talk before, sometimes if it's all good and nice, you don't want to listen to it. There's got to be something. There's got to be a little bit of heat underneath. It doesn't need to be hot and heavy, but you've got to have a little bit of heat underneath. And at that particular moment, I felt that it needed it.
I'm going to go ahead and ask Robbie at some point to Google the Gracie family. They are Brazilians, I believe, and they are Muay Thai experts. And I'm sorry, but Muay Thai is most likely going to kick the living S out of any Chinese karate guy that he has in his head. The Gracie family. Look them up.
All right.
By the way, did you hear that cricket the whole time in the background? I noticed that when I was listening to that. Was there a carcass?
She was doing, she was on Skype on her porch.
And is she live in the woods?
She's down in South Central Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Yeah, so now, yes. Yeah.
Let me tell you my biggest takeaway, and there's a lot. There's a lot of content there. Maybe we should have broken it up a little bit.
It's rich.
It is.
But my favorite thing is when she says Robbie's voice, and I think it's his voice, not necessarily what he has to say.
Not his contributions.
Right, which is weird, because I would think it would be vice versa, but whatever.
Or both.
That his voice makes her want to kick puppies. Now, that's okay. I mean, that's a funny enough line. I mean, Marcus cackles like a friggin' schoolgirl. Okay. He laughs. If Robbie, if somehow you can isolate that,
yes,
and play that whenever. And I know why. I'm not being critical, because you laughed at something that really wasn't that funny. I know what brought you that joy, and that's somebody else having that happen to them, which made you feel so bad because you're such a sensitive guy. And so when you're like, oh, now somebody else gets to experience what I experienced, but even worse, and you just went into this euphoria and you just laughed and laughed. Oh, it's the worst thing I ever heard, Marcus.
Yeah.
I do apologize.
Joe, is that the people have spoken, and they want just Joe and Rob Mayer. That's all they want.
Yeah, I agree. By the way,
and they're smart.
We hear you loud and clear. No, I mean, look, I mean, honestly, when I heard that about what Laura said last week, honestly, and I like Laura, I thought, like, what? Come on. I mean, Marcus hardly says anything, right? I just think people don't like change, right? Whenever something happens that they're not used to. Like Merle just said that Robbie's contribution is much less. No, it's not. I don't see that at all. Do you, Robbie? Do you agree with that? I mean, obviously, recently, when Marcus has been involved, yes. But before Marcus came, you weren't involved less than you were in the beginning.
I think he was.
Yeah. Robbie?
It varies from show to show. But I think in general, I don't think I've been on the show less.
I think you have. I think there was a while there where we were talking about you and your life a lot. with girlfriends.
That's true. There was a period of that going on.
Well, what did you, Robbie? You're the one that's got the attacked here. How do you feel?
Hey, Merle, pot, meat, kettle.
I was 17.
He's right.
Oh, I see. He was saving that.
Now, Merle is a frequent person who takes shots at Chris or Steve-O, and we love her for that.
Oh, I love Merle. Yeah. I call her Merle the Pearl.
Oh, she's a super fan, but she's dead. All she's dead wrong about the Muay Thai thing.
Oh. What? Are you out of your tree? That's what Anderson Silva, that's what he studied.
Yeah.
That's what John Bones Jones stuff. Seriously, all, Robbie?
She's saying she's bringing in the Brazilians when it wasn't even a debate about the Brazilians versus the Chinese. It was the Americans versus the Chinese. And plus, Muay Thai comes from Asia, so she doesn't know what the hell she's talking about.
Oh, man. God.
God, you're getting pissed.
Oh, by the way, I guess I should have mentioned, Marcus, you and Laura, you did speak on Facebook and you made up and everything's cool.
Yeah, but that was so unnecessary. I also heard Marcus talk to Wendy after. Marcus, come on, dude. People get jokes.
No, they don't.
It's okay. You don't have to go back sweeping up. Everybody's okay.
I did not, actually. Wendy reached out to me. That's how that conversation started. And as far as Laura is concerned, I had a conversation with her husband, Hank, who had mistaken the comment last week because Rob brought up the incident between Mike and I, which had absolutely nothing to do with the scenario and the situation. Right. And so Hank was taking up issue with that. And I was trying to say, whoa. I don't believe that has anything to do with what we're talking about here, but we all worked it out. It's all good.
Well, what's to work out? This is nothing. You know what I mean? I mean,
Joe doesn't work things out with people.
No, of course not. And again, you know, Wendy and I are actually friends, but you know, that thing you said, that's bullshit. I liked it. Well, I would not have backed down from that at all. If you thought it was bullshit, you thought it was bullshit. I like that you said that, right? So again, I mean, whatever you guys worked out, if you backed off of that, now I'm pissed. Why would you do that?
My apology was not for having done what I did. My apology was that she had to go through that feeling.
You were apologizing for anything?
No, but okay, go back to
apologize to me right now for apologizing.
Don't apologize.
What have you done?
No, but let's take it from a different perspective. Last week, Rob was talking about how you respond to an individual who says, "Oh, my dog died," or "My grandmother died."
Right.
You say, "Well, I'm so sorry." Actually, you're not. You're sorry for the fact that they're feeling that way or that they're going through that situation. That is in the same context for which I said, I'm sorry, Laura, for the fact that I interrupted the Rob and Joe show to create a little turmoil by saying fucking bullshit.
No, but it was a good thing. Come on.
I agree.
You apologize for everything that you do to bother somebody. I mean, seriously, we have a podcast. We want to get as many listeners as we possibly can. And currently we have thousands.
Oh, this is
so
also.
People aren't going to like everything that we say. I'm not going to apologize for anything.
Joe,
people don't like what I said, listen to the next thing. Hopefully you'll like that.
Joe and I also are in the camp that people apologize.
Of course.
Talking about celebrities way too much. Like this latest thing, we didn't even talk about this before the show, so I don't know if you guys saw it, but Rebel Wilson, you're familiar with her, the actress?
Yeah, the chick who can sing from The Fat Chick.
Yeah, she's funny. I like her. And she was on the VMAs, Video Music Awards. You probably watched it, Joe, because your girlfriend's 17. And
we DVR'd it. We've watched it twice.
She did a joke about police brutality, about strippers dressed as police officers. And then that's the brutality that they're ruined. I don't know if the joke was funny. Well, the point was she was saying that's the police brutality we need to end is strippers, right. Awful strippers dressing up like cops and showing up at your door. Well, this activist for Black Lives Matter, DeRay McKesson, who, by the way, who in his picture on Twitter, he looks like the hardest dude of all time. I heard him on an interview recently. The dorkiest, nerdiest Steve Urkel voice you've ever heard in your life. I mean, it's amazing. It's so obvious that he has issues that his voice, he sounds so nerdy that he tries to overcompensate by being this activist, whatever. Not that
what you better hope he doesn't hear this.
Well, no, he says
Marcus will have to apologize.
He, of course, is angry. You can't joke about police brutality. And there's this comedian, Kurt Metzger, is super funny, and I follow him on Facebook. You guys should check him out, too. He's awesome. But he has a podcast called Race Wars with another comic, Sherrod Small. It's a really good podcast. They talk about racial stuff, and one guy's white, one guy's black, and they basically, you know, shit on everybody that apologizes, and it's a pussy, basically. But he has a great line that No, you do joke about police brutality. You joke about things that aren't funny. You don't joke about things that are already funny. You joke about things that give you pain. You joke about your divorce. You joke about this. You can't just joke. A joke can't be a guy fell down and it was hilarious and he got hit in the nuts. That's not a joke. That's already funny stuff. So, no, you should joke about police brutality. You should joke about everything that's awful and make it funny.
Of course. You want to go ahead and find the funny in that which is not. 100%. That's where you go. You have to go to dark places in order to find comedy. You do.
So what
do you think irony is? Just all pleasing? No, you have to go to something bad.
So, Rebel Wilson, do not apologize. You've done nothing wrong.
I hope she doesn't, but she looks like the type that won't.
They almost always do. And I know a lot of times it's probably not their choice. They have a publicist.
And PR.
PR team that's telling them. But it just, I feel like that the country gets a little bit worse with every apology over nothing. Like you, Marcus, you made the country worse.
Yeah, what do you think Marcus wouldn't apologize? I mean, he just apologized for everything. I mean, he has owned every time you make you hurt somebody's feelings, even if it's bullshit, you're going to go and you're going to apologize.
You know what's going to happen? Marcus's wife is going to listen to this episode. She's going to hear you mainly shitting on her birthday gift, and Marcus is going to apologize to her.
Actually, no, that would not happen. She would actually listen to the show, hear my comments and go, you are so full of shit, because that is not who you are in real life. She will tell you, I don't apologize for anything.
Well, that's the person you should apologize to, your wife.
Yeah.
You got everything all mixed up. That's the person that lives in your house and sleeps in your bed. But you're apologizing to Wendy Townsend, but you're not apologizing to your wife. More marriages than Robbie at this rate.
I want my wife to always remain on edge because it keeps the sex lively.
No, that's good. That's good. Well, all then right. You should trust. You're going to want Wendy to remain on edge too. That's never mind. That's probably going to get dirty. Moving on. Okay. Somebody died, Joe, and I want to blame you, but I can't. Explain what just happened.
You're talking about the former governor of the state of Maryland, Marvin Mandel.
Yeah, but you, I think, sent him. You started his downward spiral.
Well, about 5 years ago, we've told this story on here, but it might have been longer than a year. Story. And I was standing at a Maryland game, and I had great seats.
Basketball game?
Correct. And I was standing, and the game hadn't started yet. We were just standing there. It was at the warm-ups, and I was talking to people around me, and all of a sudden I hear, hey, sit down. And I turn around, and it's this fossil of a man, right? I said, excuse me? He's like, sit down. I go, listen to me. I go, you can't speak to me that way. What is it that makes you think that you're entitled to talk that way towards any other human being? You know, we have a decorum that we use in this society, and you went way over the line. You're nowhere near it. If you said, excuse me, sir, I can't see, I'd be more than happy to sit down. Even if you said, hey, would you mind sitting down? I would. But you start screaming, and I just lay this guy out. Lay him out. Of course, that was former Governor Marvin Mandel, who is now dead. Now, at the time... It took such shame in berating this man because I think if I remember correctly, Robbie, he was like 91 or 92 at the time, something like that.
90 at the time, yeah.
Yeah, 90 at the time, and now he's 95, but he hung in there, so I don't believe I'm responsible.
Well, so you're not apologizing?
Of course I'm not apologizing. I'm not, who am I, Marcus? No, I'm not apologizing.
How old, is there an age that someone has to be for you not to just yell at them?
It's actually not, has nothing to do with age. It has to do with whether or not I feel like they're going to come down and kick the shit out of me.
So if some 95-year-old man is driving and almost runs you off the road, but you could tell that he just doesn't know what he's doing because he doesn't have his faculties, are you going to like give him the finger and yell and scream?
I don't do that because normally when it's on the road, what a bad driver I am. So normally it's my fault. So I never, ever, ever say anything to anybody other in other cars. I never flip anybody off. I never honk because I'm always wrong, right? I'm always wrong.
Right.
So I always assume if somebody's run me off the road that somehow I didn't merge properly or whatever, right? I just effed up.
What about you're in the grocery store and he pushes his cart into yours?
I mean, again, I don't think that I would. I don't, because I would assume that's an accident. One thing that you can't do by accident is be rude to somebody. So, right. Yes, if somebody is rude to me, today. I mean, I had an experience today. I don't know if it'll translate, but I had to go to get a signature on a form, and I went to somebody's house, and the first person said that he wasn't home because I guess whoever normally goes to the house is either a bill collector or a police officer.
Right.
So I started walking away, and all of a sudden some lady goes, "Excuse me, who are you looking for?" And I said the name. She goes, "He's here." And I go, "Okay." So I go back up to the door, and I'm standing there. She goes, "Well, don't leave the door open." I literally felt like saying, "I'm not helping this guy anymore," and slamming the door and leaving. I was so mad because of how rudely people would treat me, right? So anything that happens to me by accident, I'm fine. That's fine by me. But if you are outwardly rude, now granted, I can be rude, but I'm also trying to be hysterical. You follow what I'm saying?
Of course.
So I think that there's a difference. But if you're just like that, I would never in a million years think about yelling at somebody. I don't care who they were. I would never think about yelling at somebody in front of me to sit down in that manner. I would.
So the kid just died, and people are saying a lot of nice things about him, although he wasn't, you know, there was some shady stuff in his past. But a lot of people are coming out and saying nice things. But Joe's here to say that Marvin Mandel was a dick, right?
Yep. Well, he was entitled. That's the thing. He was entitled. Because in order for you to speak to somebody in that way, you have to feel like they're beneath you or you're entitled to something. You follow what I'm saying?
Just he probably thinks you are beneath him.
Well, I probably am beneath him.
He had better seats than you.
No, he didn't. He had worse seats because he was behind me.
Well, you were beneath him. All right. What do you do in this situation? This happened to me the other Sunday morning. I'm driving on the D.C. Beltway. You know, it's a freeway, so your people are going to go 60, 65, 70. And it's early at 8:45 in the morning. And three cars fly by. They're high-end, some Audi, a Porsche, a Nissan 300Z, and they're wheezing, going in and out of traffic. Then a couple of seconds, 30 seconds later, two more cars similar come flying by. Then 5 minutes later, 20 cars come by doing this. So it's obvious some group or something, some online thing. It's a coordinated thing. But I felt like how an old person must feel driving when people are driving normal. I'm holding on to a steering wheel. I'm terrified, right? And, I mean, someone was going to call the police, right? I mean, someone's going to die if that keeps happening. But I felt like an old person thinking that instead of thinking that it was cool.
I was doing a show at the Comedy Doc, and I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, but unlike Marcus, I won't apologize. Right. If you're on one of those crotch rockets, you know, F you. You know what? What the fuck is your problem? You know, just going by you loud, scaring the shit out of you. I hate it so much. One time I was going to a show in Edgewater at the Comedy Dock. Rob, what year must that have been since? It had to be, 7 years ago?
2006, 2007, probably.
Yeah. And, of course, that happened to me. Flying by. Another one flies by. I go maybe another 3 miles up 50, and all of a sudden the traffic comes to a dead stop.
Yeah.
Of course, I make it off the exit, but I read the next day, dead. The person died. Now, I wasn't happy about that. Don't get me that. I don't want to come across that way. But there's where justice was served in a different way. I don't know if that's justice or not, but I didn't have to call the cops. But, you know, I wonder if the other guy learned his lesson.
I mean,
thanks, Tim.
How do these guys not... How do they evade? Are they going to just outrun the police? Do they have?
Yeah, if you're one of those bikes, they don't even try to catch.
No, I mean, but these cars that I saw, I mean, they're not. They can't get away from a cop. They can't go some back trail. I mean, how do they know that there won't be police? How is it? I never seen that before in my life. Have you ever seen 25 cars do that?
No, but do what I do. Just go in the slow lane. They don't bother you.
That's what I did. I was on my way to teaching driving class. So. It's ironic.
Oh, that must have pissed you off.
Yeah.
They needed to see your DVDs.
Let's take a break. We'll talk famous people's underwear. Seriously. Rob and Joe, I'll be right back.
Oh, you bad boy, what have you done?
With summer in full swing, there's a lot of places you want to go, but the post office isn't one of them. Driving there, parking, waiting for a clerk, what a hassle. So use Stamps.com instead to buy and print real U.S. postage for any envelope or package using your own computer and printer.
Right now, use the promo code RobinJoe for this special offer. A no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale and $55 free postage. Go to Stamps.com today, click on the microphone, and type in RobinJoe. That's Stamps.com. Promo code Rob and Joe.
The Rob and Joe Show.
to the Rob and Joe Show.
So I saw this online. I'm not even sure if it's real or not, but it doesn't matter because we'll still talk about what we're going to talk about. But the UFC was selling or is selling Ronda Rousey's underwear that she wore during a fight.
Could that
I think
be
like $1,000.
Could that be real? Doesn't Ronda Rousey own her own underwear? You give it to the UFC when you're done? How does that even make any sense?
I don't know, but it did get me thinking. There has to be people out there that collect like items worn by celebrities. So
do they authenticate it?
I don't know, but if you could own anyone's underwear, and I don't just mean underwear that somebody owned. I mean they were wearing it when something happened. They did something amazing or something happened. Like, A, who would you want? And B, what? There was an auction. What would go for the most money? Whose underwear? At what time?
Place? I guess Jesus's underwear would be the most, right?
Yes, that would be the most.
Moses?
Take out any... say it's in the last, I don't know, since the United States existed.
Okay. Is it Abraham Lincoln, George Washington?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech. Because I want to get a moment. You know, there's got to be, is it the Gettysburg
address? Okay, Ben Franklin, when he was flying his kite and he discovered the conductivity of electricity, you get his underwear. By the way, underwear back then, I mean, did they even have elastic? It's just like, it's like wearing a shirt down there.
What about like Marilyn Monroe when she died?
Oh, yeah.
Kurt Cobain when he killed himself.
Well, a lot of these people, if they killed themselves, they probably evacuated themselves. I don't know that I'd want it.
I don't know. I mean, it might be, people would pay for it.
There
are weirdos out there.
Yeah, but I mean, normally when you are a collector, it's like, look what I have. You know what I mean? I mean, can you really show off Martin Luther King's underwear? What do you put it in a glass case? You know what I mean? Like,
If you have Michael Jordan's underwear, when they beat the Utah Jazz, he hits the shot finals. You have that in some sort of glass case with a picture of him making that shot description.
Did you have his underwear?
Yeah, his jockstrap.
I don't know if I agree. I'm afraid to ask Robbie or Marcus to piss off, you know, half of the listening audience. But right, what do you
actually
guys think?
Just the women, it sounds like.
I think that would be ridiculous. If you had a man cave and you had a picture of Jordan hitting that shot and right beside it, or his, you know, his Hanes or whatever. I guess that's his sponsor. They're afraid to talk. You guys want to give your opinion on this? Do you want to weigh in?
I don't personally want anybody's underwear.
Well, no, that's what I mean. I mean, is it?
But for the value.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think that anybody, I can't imagine there's that much of a market for it.
I think that I have the answer. I think that something would sell at auction for millions.
Okay.
The underwear Hitler wore right when he found out the Allies were coming closing in on him, he had to kill himself.
<That's> So good. When Hitler that's killed good. Himself. Yeah, but who's going to buy that? Because, I mean, are you a Nazi sympathizer?
No, they're people who hated him or who.
Okay, but let's say you're Steven Spielberg, right? The richest Jew. And you're like, hey, I have Hitler's underwear. People are like, well, why do you want that?
He killed soiled underwear from when he shit himself when he was.
I don't know anybody wants that.
No, but Joe, if there was a museum down the street that had underwear like that, I'm gonna go.
Okay,
look
well,
at
that's
it.
Different. If it's a museum of underwear, and you go in there and there's 1,000 pairs of underwear, and you're like, this is when the Gettysburg Address was, and this is the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and this is I Love Lucy's debut, you know. Yeah, I guess you're right about that. But if you just are in your basement and you have a pair of soiled underwear from John Stockton's, you know, highest assist game,
reference, big Utah Jazz fan. Have the picture of Muhammad Ali when he's standing over, I believe it's Sonny Liston,
yes.
And then next to that, you've got his underwear from that very day. That's
well,
pretty
here's
cool.
Here's the thing. If you have his shorts.
Well, that's better, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. If you have his underwear, by the way, what do you think he wore? He probably wore tighty whities.
Yeah.
And then he probably has that protective thing over it, right?
Yeah.
And then he had the trunks on, right?
Yeah. Well, what about Serena Williams? She's going right now for the Grand Slam. She's going to try to win all four majors in the same year, U.S. Open. She's also a lot of attractive. She's a sex symbol. I think if someone could buy her winning panties, I mean, that would fetch a lot of money.
Well, there's a big flaw. I guarantee you she's not wearing panties.
Well, okay. Well,
she's wearing those little bike shorts or, boy shorts or whatever. You know what I mean?
Whatever she has under her tennis skirt.
It's a pair of shorts.
That's fine.
That's different.
The closest thing to her skin.
I don't think athlete is going to, I don't think it's going to work because I don't think they wear the regular underwear. If you just have a pair of shorts. So you have to go non-female, unless you're going to Babe Deirdrickson and nobody's going to give a shit. You see what I'm saying? Nobody's going to care about her bloomers.
Right. What about President Obama when he got sworn in?
What do you think he was wearing? Boxers?
Probably. I bet he was wearing boxer briefs.
Oh, yeah.
Silk. No, I don't know. So
why stop there? Why not take it the extra step? If you're going to go for a Ronda Rousey or you're going to go for, one of the Williams sisters, why don't you go for one of their tampons or one of their pads with wings that they were wearing during Wimbledon?
Now I know.
Team Laura.
Now I get Laura. Finally. Okay, Laura, I apologize. I really do. A legitimate apology.
The man now who never apologizes.
Yes, I never apologize. Now I've decided to. Because of that.
That's the most expensive game-worn tampon.
What's the biggest event in women's sports history? Probably got to be an Olympic event, something like a Nadia Comaneci or something like that.
Mary Lou Retton.
Mary Lou Retton isn't as big as some of these who've won. Dama Comaneci each had like six perfect tens or something like that.
All right. I mean, she didn't have six. I think she had the first perfect 10.
Relax. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Jackie Joyner Kersee. There's not some, there's not some giant event moment. I mean, Jesse Owens.
Saying Mia Hamm or, from
Brandi Chastain.
Yeah. You know what? But that's the thing. Like Brandi Chastain's, like that sports bra, that's worth a lot of money. That's iconic. Yeah. Her underwear, nobody cares about it.
All right, sports bra. You want to do that?
Well, obviously the most
Barack Obama's sports bra.
No, the most valuable sports bra clearly is Brandi Chastain. There's not going to be anything even close.
I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, it's still soccer.
I'm talking about, give me another sports bra.
I mean, Serena Williams is the most popular female athlete in the world right now.
So you're saying that Serena Williams' sports bra when she breaks Steffi Graf's record.
She gets the U.S. Open and she wins that. Yeah.
She breaks her record. I don't believe that that'll be as valuable as the sports bra when Brandi Chastain took her shirt off.
No, but Serena Williams is 100 times the athlete in terms of accomplishment.
If you're talking about the U.S., maybe the tennis one is more valuable. But if you're worldwide, it's going to be closer. But I still think Serena Williams worldwide is more famous athlete.
Yeah, she's more famous. Wimbledon, it's not close. It's not. We're not talking about fame. We're talking about iconic. It was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. That is the most. If you say what's the most famous moment in sports bra history, everybody in the world is going to say Brandi Chastain.
But that doesn't mean it brings in more money. Is my point.
Let's say. Well, there's only one way to settle this. We got to get them both.
Got to get them both.
Put them on eBay.
But Joe, if just facial recognition. Serena Williams is more recognizable than any baseball player.
But the problem is that you can buy any Serena Williams article of clothing, and that's going to have the same value. But Brandi Chastain's sports bra is iconic. That's the iconic piece.
Right, because she took her shirt off.
Right, exactly.
I understand what you're saying. Just right. You saw it. No, it would, and there is the USA, the patriotism angle. I don't know. I mean,
wait a minute, maybe I'm wrong because Eric the Actor's agreeing with me in chat.
I just think that there's 1,000 to 1 more fans of Serena Williams. And therefore there are more people.
This is than the World Cup in a much bigger sport than tennis worldwide.
But people don't know who Brandi Chastain is. Everyone knows who Serena Williams is. She has more fans. There's more people bidding. It'll go for more money.
Well, I agree that she has more fans. That's true.
Oh, thank you for that. So what about the sexy angle? Like just some hot chick wearing like when, I don't know, somebody won an Oscar, Jennifer Lawrence or something, some hot chick, Marilyn Monroe.
No. I mean, obviously, Marilyn Monroe stuff is going to always be, you know, have some value.
Right.
But again, that goes back to what I was saying regarding being an icon. And that's that moment with, not to keep going back to this Brady Chastain thing, but that's the same argument. I mean, obviously, there are bigger, I don't know. I don't know that there are too many bigger stars than Marilyn Monroe nowadays, but that's really, I can't think of anybody's underwear who would be worth more than Marilyn Monroe's.
It's Ronda Rousey is probably the female underwear that would go for the most.
I want Sharapova's sports bra for personal reasons.
I'll bet you that Oprah Winfrey's underwear would go for more than Ronda Rousey's.
Well, it's twice the size. So.
You get twice the material.
I bet you if Robbie could get owned David Letterman's underwear for his final show, not only would he own it, he would wear it.
Robbie, if it was offered to you, would you take it?
No, absolutely not. No, what? No, that's not true. No, because like I said before, I would want it for the value to resell it, but I don't want to own it.
No, you have to display it.
Nope, not interested.
So if somebody said, we'll give it to you, I don't want it, it's yours, you'd say no.
If I'm allowed to resell it, yes. If I have to display it in my house, absolutely not.
Would you pull a Marcus and apologize for not accepting such a gift?
Well, feel free to tweet in, Facebook us all week, at Rob and Joe Show. Underwear, whose do you want? How about this? Which underwear between myself, Joe, and Robbie would go for most in auction? Show worn. We wore this during episode 200, that amazing episode. It was a show worn pair of underwear.
We can always put it, you know, we can always put it up on eBay.
We could. I think that we would get $0. Actually, no. Yeah. There's a weirdo out there that would bid on it.
Sure. Chris Restivo would bid on it.
He would want mine, I think. What do we got left?
Oh, I want to talk a little bit about what a great job Marcus is doing getting the show up.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, for years, you know, Robbie produced the show, still producing the show, doing an amazing job. And we would do the show live on Monday night, and then Robbie would, you know, tweak the audio. We've had patches there where the audio issues were really bad. It was definitely a lot to clean up. And, of course, he would add in a few drops, of course, name the show, write up a description of the show, and then upload the show. And
that would usually happen on Wednesday.
Yeah. So we do the show Monday night. And then Wednesday morning, at the earliest, it would appear.
Every once in a while, it wouldn't make it up on Wednesday.
Right.
Thinking nothing of it. And I would just message Robbie and say, hey, dude, what's the deal with the show? And he's, I'm under a lot of pressure, dude. Right. You know, then you'd get screamed at. So I only did that once.
Occasionally it showed up on a Tuesday night.
Occasionally. And then we wondered from having, you know, we'd do the Mike O'Mara show and we'd record at like 10 a.m. We would go on there and it would end about 11:30. And then, you know.
On one, it was up, right.
Yeah. And now clearly they don't really have audio issues. They have much better system and setup, but they were able to, if there wasn't any glaring audio issues, essentially have it up almost immediately. And we, having never done this before, not really knowing the process, I think we'd actually even try to get Robbie to just let us know. I have no idea. How hard is it? Can we help? Is there something we can do to get it up sooner? Well, Marcus comes along. And that's one of the things he's doing for the show. He's recording it on his end, and he's making it sound better, and you're doing a great job. And then he's the one literally doing what Robbie used to do in terms of uploading it in the description. And this past week, for example, we ended the show. We taped from 7:30 to 8:30, and by 11 p.m., maybe even 10, it was up. Amazing.
And you know what it sounded like? Sounded just like the show Robbie used to put up.
Yes.
Now I didn't. There was no distinction. I couldn't understand what he was doing and what Marcus is. I didn't know the difference.
Not
and
once,
I can't imagine, is Marcus just way better at it? I can't imagine that.
I don't know. Not once did I listen and think, man, this needs 40 more hours of stewing.
I need to pour through every syllable.
So is this just, yeah, that's the question. Is Marcus just better, more better technology, or less of a perfectionist, or does he just care more?
Robbie. Oh, my God. Eric, the actor, is going crazy in chat right now defending Robbie. Just nuts.
What's he saying?
The Robbie hate train continues. Robbie also edits the show, listens to the show before posting, makes it perfect. Sorry, Robbie does quality control. Yes, there was a lot of distinction. I could easily tell. Marcus phones it in. It's what Eric thinks. I mean, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 straight comments. Robbie, you would love to meet Eric the actor. Does anybody in this world love you like he does?
Listen, I wish that I knew who Eric the actor was because we would be good friends. We both like reality TV. We both like guns. You know, we would be good friends.
Well, Eric, he's in your neck of your woods Friday night, Arlington Draft House.
It was Katie's theory, and I know this to not be true because I've been in studio with Robbie, but Katie believes that Eric the actor is Robbie. But no, it's definitely not Robbie because we've been together and seen Eric the actor still hate us and love Robbie. It never changes. By the way, real quick to jump back, Landlord Dave just texted me Amelia Earhart's underwear.
Nice. Okay. Thank you, Dave. Sorry, appreciate that. Thanks for jumping back. Well, Robbie, I mean, is Eric the actor correct? Is Marcus missing things? If you were doing this, would you be putting it out on Wednesday morning and it being considerably better?
I don't want to be critical in any way of what.
Oh, please.
But now's the time to do it.
You can always say you're sorry like Marcus would.
Yeah.
Do not want to be critical in any way of what Marcus is doing. I am so happy to have it off of my plate that and whatever he's doing is fine with me. It only makes me more happy if it comes out earlier. And Marcus even said this. He knew this was going to happen because he said, you know, there'll be days. I'll just go ahead. I can go and knock it out.
So listen,
I know I'm going to take shit for it. I'm going to love it because I'll be so happy that the show's out and that it's off my plate and I don't have to sweat it for the rest.
Yeah, but that was kind of a dick thing that you just did because you could have said, you know what, there is no difference, but you made it known that there is. You made it known that there is a difference, but that you're so happy that you don't have to do it that you're not going to say. But you did. But you're saying there is a difference. You do notice the problems that there is with Marcus's what he uploads.
Marcus, notice a difference?
Answer, me, I don't notice anything.
No, Marcus, do you notice a difference?
I will say that Robbie and I have had these conversations back and forth since I started, and especially in the first show, I empathized with some of the things that he was going through, and then got to the point where I decided not to be as particular about some issues. But
can you apologize to Robbie right now?
I'm not fucking apologizing. Fuck that. He got his goddamn show out on a Monday night.
There are certain things that I couldn't let go. And Marcus saw the same things I saw. But Marcus was able to let go of it a little bit more easily.
I say that Marcus's approach to this? Now listen, I don't like being critical of Robbie because he does a lot of things for me and he's excellent at what he does. But he's meticulous and he's meticulous to a fault. And I will say that whatever Marcus is doing, I prefer. Whatever he's doing in order to get the show out as quickly, at whatever quality. And again, if the quality's bad, I don't notice it. And what that means is that 99% of our listenership aren't going to notice it either. So
only super Robbie fans, 85%.
Well, you think 15% of the people hear the show and go, oh, I can't deal with the audio.
No,
like, I can't.
I can notice the difference.
I'm not saying they turn it off. I'm just saying they will see that there is a little bit of a difference.
There probably is. And I'm like Joe in that I don't notice all those little details. It's like if you go to a restaurant, you have two choices. You know, you can have the meal. It's made in an hour and it's amazing. Or it's in 3 hours and there's a little things that only foodies and chefs would notice, but it is better. Which do you prefer? I'm going to take the sooner the better.
And Gramps also coming to Robbie's defense as well as Eric the Actor. My favorite quote by Eric the Actor is Marcus phones it in. I love it. Marcus phones it in.
And Joe, what you said about you prefer the way Marcus does it, and that's completely fair, and I accept that.
All right. Look,
well, thank you.
I'm proud of Robbie, though, for I thought that was gonna it was gonna bother him, but you
Oh, it does bother him. It bothers him. It's
outwardly it would bother.
It really doesn't, because I reached out to Marcus last week and I told him my quality of life has increased so much.
What have you been able to do now that Marcus is involved?
I have free time. I can actually produce. Like today I actually had free time to pull all those clips today, which I normally don't have on a Monday because I'm still backed up from work that I left alone because I was working on stuff for the show.
So is it fair to say, Robbie, that what the show now lacks in your fine-tuning, it gains in your ability to put your time towards producing these things, those clips. So the end result, F you, Eric the Actor, is actually a slightly better show.
Content-wise, I believe that we are getting better at kind of pulling things out of our ass, you know, because this is kind of it's kind of chemistry. It's kind of not, there's not exact science to it.
Right.
And Marcus has actually helped with that aspect of kind of the chemistry of the show and making things happen more.
Well, Laura Reuter believes that he's ruined the chemistry.
Well, there's going to be naysayers of people that don't like change, but.
Again, I just want to point out that it's women that hate Robbie and Marcus. It's always women that hate these two.
Well, this is a joke. I mean, I hate to, you know, but no, Robbie does a great job. Marcus does a great job. Yes. You guys.
And Eric, the actor, does a great job of defending Robbie.
Yeah. Yes, he's the best. And look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 comments out of the last 1, 2, 3, 4, out of the last 25 have come from Marcus. I'm sorry, have come from Eric the Actor in defense of Robbie.
How many comments did Eric the Actor have before this came up about how he noticed that the show doesn't sound as good?
He didn't say a word about it.
Okay, so that's clearly it was weighing on him then.
And if you ever have Merle on again, I would love her to expand on what specifically about my voice annoys her. Because essentially, I mean, like Joe said, I would understand if it was what I was saying that bothered her, but it's my actual voice that bothers her. Joe and I essentially have the same voice, except for I'm less nasally. So what is, you know.
Maybe she prefers nasally.
That's the show, people. Please, if you're in the Baltimore area, come out and support me and J.L. Covan and Dylan Meyer. He's emceeing for us. This Thursday to Saturday, Magoobie's Joke House. It's a fantastic club. There's 5 shows. Magoobies.com for all the times and ticket prices. And if you're in the Northern Virginia area and you're
or the D.C. area,
anything Maryland, D.C. suburbs of Maryland, come out to the Arlington Draft House Friday night. We really need this show to do well. The ticket sales so far are pretty good, but we want to really push it and get it over the hump.
Again,
Rob Spiewak will be a part of it. It's a super fun show. There's comedy. There's a murder. You get to try to solve it. It's a lot of fun. That's 7:30, ArlingtonDraftHouse.com, this Friday the 4th. Hopefully you can make one or, hey, both of those events, and we would appreciate that further. Appreciate that much from you guys. Good show tonight, gentlemen. I guess that's it, right?
That's it. Thanks, man.
Sorry about that.
See you guys next week.
I accept your apology later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.